One of the city's most revered institutions of Jewish learning is teetering on the brink of insolvency. After years of massive deficits, Yeshiva University needs to transform itself if it hopes to survive. WNYC's Robert Lewis has been looking at what led the 128-year-old school to the current crisis.
When economist Abraham Ravid joined the faculty at Yeshiva University in 2012, he was excited at the prospect of turning the business program into a powerhouse. Yeshiva already boasted the renowned Albert Einstein College of Medicine and the Benjamin N. Cardoza School of Law. Its undergraduate programs were popular with many in the modern Orthodox Jewish community. The Sy Sim School of Business was boosting enrollment and planned to hire some superstar business professors. And then last year, everything changed.
In the fall, we were told that there was a big crisis.
Serious financial problems. The news came in an announcement by the university's president. After years of aggressive expansion that included new hiring, new programs, and an expensive new research building, that was the first time many professors realized just how bad the situation was.
Everything was going the right way, and we were basically stopped. We were told that everything is frozen.
The administration has cut staff, frozen pay, sold buildings to raise cash, and announced just last month that it would transfer control of Einstein, the crown jewel of the university, to a local health system. One ratings agency said that without drastic changes, the university could run out of cash by the end of next year. The university arrived at this point because of two factors: a pattern of management that tolerated risky investments, conflicts of interest, mounting deficits, and even an accounting system that was just a step above paper and pencil. And the worst recession in modern memory, which wiped out a large chunk of revenue from Yeshiva's investment portfolio.
It's really a structural issue. The revenues have been growing at a slower pace than the expenses.
Carolyn McLean is an analyst at the ratings agency Standard & Poor's.
Largely, it's due to a hit on their balance sheet due to the market crash of 2008 in combination with a significant investment with Bernie Madoff and his fund, which just was a big hit to their investment portfolio that they haven't recovered from.
The university had to write down more than $100 million from its investment with Madoff, who was on the board of trustees. But that's only part of the problem. The university's total investment portfolio plummeted $700 million, from $1.7 billion to $1 billion between 2007 and 2009. That's according to a bond prospectus. It was worth about $1.1 billion at the end of last fiscal year. Journalist Stephen Weiss, managing editor of the Jewish Channel, a cable channel that's been called the Jewish HBO, spent years looking at the school's finances.
The experience Yeshiva University had between 2002 and 2008 is highly reflective of Wall Street culture and in particular hedge fund culture in those years.
He says much of the loss traces back to a philosophical change in how the school invested its money, as more and more board members arrived from the financial world.
They started selling off essentially all the assets in the low-risk category and putting the money from those proceeds into the high-risk category.
The losses came at the same time that other revenue lagged. History professor William Stenhouse has been at Yeshiva since 2002 and is currently speaker of the faculty council.
The university is facing many of the same issues that other institutions of higher education are facing.
Federal science funding is harder to get. Grants and contracts were down more than a quarter last year compared to 2008. And students are also struggling, needing ever bigger financial aid packages. On top of that, the university's expansion drove costs up.
We have a larger faculty than we did 10 years ago, and we're aiming to do more than we did 10 years ago. And so I think, you know, initially there was a sense that we were bound to run some deficits as a kind of part of this process.
But that process never ended, and neither have the deficits. In a scathing report released in March, Moody's analysts wrote that management's, quote, unwillingness or inability to adjust meant the university was never able to bounce back from the recession. University President Richard Joel, one of the highest paid university presidents in the country, with annual compensation topping $1 million, declined to be interviewed for this story. He has argued that the school's investment performance is no worse than other universities. In a recent appearance on a leading Jewish radio program, Talkline with Zev Brenner, he acknowledged that the school could not rely on its generous donor base to bail it out.
You're going to see a faculty that is going to be leaner and meaner, with an emphasis on tenured faculty. You're going to see different delivery mechanisms. And I think you'll also see probably a somewhat larger student-faculty ratio, because the one that we have is not sustainable.
He didn't mention one of the biggest changes, one that will require the university to cede control of Einstein, which holds an important place in Jewish history.
There are many schools of learning in this land. There are even a great number of medical schools that serve the needs of the American people. This, however, is the first that represents the contribution of the Jews of America to all citizens of America.
That was Samuel Levy, the chairman of the board in 1952, raising money to build the medical school. And this is Jonathan Halpert.
And he announced Yeshiva University is going to have a medical school.
His father worked for the school. He himself is a graduate, and he spent more than 40 years coaching its basketball team until he was forced out last year.
For years and years and years, there were guys who couldn't go to medical school because they were Jewish. Now, many people don't understand that because they think all doctors are Jews.
But the med school has become a drain on the university's finances. Unlike other medical schools, Einstein doesn't have its own hospital or clinical services that generate revenue. So its money comes largely from research grants, tuition, and gifts. That hasn't been enough. According to Standard & Poor's, two-thirds of Yeshiva's $64 million operating deficit last year was due to Einstein. In February, Einstein's dean announced a pay cut for some tenured faculty. So the faculty senate voted to sue by the end of this month when the cuts are scheduled to take effect, according to a member who wasn't authorized to speak on the record. Meanwhile, Yeshiva University announced this month that it would turn day-to-day control of the med school to Montefiore Health System. The details are still being worked out, but Halpert says some old alums might have a problem with the symbolism.
You're giving Albert Einstein to Montefiore? In order to stay alive, we have to give up Einstein? So if you're someone of my age, it's like a capitulation.
None of this turmoil is visible on the school's quiet campus at 185th Street overlooking the Harlem River, where a few students taking summer classes sit at folding tables outside the study center.
You actually caught me in my 25-minute break in between about eight-hour sessions in the library.
Adam Friedman is a grad student grabbing a quick bite to eat. He says he's heard about some of the financial issues, but has other things to focus on.
You go to class, or you go to your Judaic study learning program, and it's still functioning. The Jewish people are people of hope, whether it's thousands of years of exile or financial problems in an institution.
The university is working with a consultant to prepare a long-term plan. Details are expected later this year. For WNYC, I'm Robert Lewis.